Hey, y'all, it's Matty K back on the podcast with Mikey Two Names. Welcome back, Mikey. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Good to be back. There's the wife already. Good to be back. Just been doing kind of parenthood. Me and the wife got a puppy about 10 days ago.
Yes.
So I have not slept in 10 days.
Wait till you have a kid. It's going to be even worse.
Oh, dude, this is
and you're going to be covered in vomit.
it's amazing birth control, but at the same time, it's like, oh, goddamn, I love that dog so much. So I see the goods and bads, but she's cute as hell. It's just every 2 or 3 hours, she has to go to the bathroom or eat. So that's what parenthood is like. I'm getting ready for it because I am exhausted.
Is she well? Because the kids are ready to see the dog.
I was grilling earlier and I took the little mat, you call it the cover, grill cover off.
Yeah.
And she spent about an hour and a half. I put it on the grass. I guess she couldn't figure out what the hell it was. She spent an hour and a half running circles on it and attacking it and barking at it. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, whenever you want to bring the girls over, bring them over, man. They can come pet Nala.
Yeah, I'll let you know. It'll be soon. We got to find a blank weekend.
Good deal, man. What do you so what's going on with you? What do you got in for us today?
So a while back I read this article. I heard it recommended on a podcast. I don't remember whose show it was, but I remember reading it before. It's it's 4 or 5 years old. It was written by Jeffrey Tucker, and it's on the Foundation for Economic Education website. So we've had this asked before, right? Or similar questions to this by some of our listeners. Shout out Bert Harvey. You know, I'm on board with the anarchist thing. I like what you're saying. I like what I hear, but I really don't know how all this shit's going to work. Right? Like everything sounds good, but I don't understand the nuts and bolts of how this type of society would work. So here's a little peek into Jeffrey Tucker's take of private policing. So, you know, we like to talk about cops on the show a lot. So, I feel like it's a pretty good topic. So this article is called How Policing Works in a Privatized City. I think I'm just going to read through it. And I know you've got some spots that you're probably going to want to stop me. So feel free.
Absolutely. Let's go.
All right. All the common areas of Atlantic Station, including the streets, sidewalks, parks, and alleys, are private property. Thus reads one line buried in the rules of conduct for Atlantic Station, Atlanta, Georgia. A marvelous city within a city. But it's this one line that makes the critical difference. It's why this one square mile in the heart of this great city has done more to model beauty, prosperity, diversity, and happy living. There's a typo in there. Okay, happy living. More than 50 years of urban renewal and other government programs. The entire community was built on top of the old Atlanta Steel Mill, which opened in 1901 and closed in the 1970s, leaving desolation in its wake. The Atlantic Station opened 10 years ago as a visionary entrepreneurial venture, the brainchild of the Jacoby Group, headed by Jim Jacoby. Funded mostly with private money, the city helped with tax breaks and some infrastructure funding. So that's kind of shitty, but I mean, I guess, you know, we're stuck
in the current, right direction.
Yeah, we're stuck in the current world, so it is what it is, right? It's not a gated community walled off from the public for only the elite. There's no charge to get in. Everything is public access and subject to all the laws governing commercial property. The difference between the public and private city, however, is huge. You can tell when you have entered the space. Whereas many areas of Atlanta struggle, this area in the heart of the city is clean, bright, ebullient, which is a really nice word, bustling with enterprise and life. Sorry, Mikey, I'm a little tired. It's been a long day. On an evening recently, on the way to the movies in the spectacular theater there, I sat outside on the patio of a Mexican food restaurant and watched adults and children playing games and having fun on the green space that serves as a mini park in the middle of this urban experiment in capitalism. There were people from all races, classes, and ages. They listened to the live band and sang along. As I sat there, I was suddenly overwhelmed with a sense of a mini utopia. It's like an idealized scene you see in a commercial for soda or some happy vacation getaway. It was one of the most blissful city scenes I've ever witnessed. It was a typical evening, and it was all taking place in a place that was only 20 years ago a burned-out, low-rent disaster zone, the kind of place people flee. Now, the migration patterns have changed. Atlantic Station is a place where you want to live and work. I was walking along and a uniformed police officer greeted me. I responded with delight, and we had a nice conversation. She wanted to know if I was enjoying the evening, made a few bar recommendations. We chatted about the weather, and I went on. She was uniformed, yes, and probably armed, but in a non-threatening way. She looked sharp and helpful, as well as official.
Ah, well, that's something that we talked about a few times, where when officers pull you over, you see an officer at a bar or at a restaurant, you usually get the feeling of fear, feeling of dread, feeling of he's watching me, therefore am I doing something wrong, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Like so, they walk into a place like that, right, and they got the mean mug on, and they're automatically trying to assert, you know, dominance over everybody, let everybody know that they're in control.
Exactly. So that nice change of pace, right?
You see, so yeah, this is
a piece officer, not a police officer, a right. peace officer.
Yeah, this is definitely different. It's more, you know, clearly she's, the article goes on into this a little bit more, but she's, you know, she's hired privately. She's part of a private firm that the business owners have contracted to do police work in the city. So, I mean, for me, that makes her sort of like, you know, she's an agent of the owner and she's kind of like the welcoming arm for the city, right? So she's not there to run people off. She's there to make people feel safe and welcome.
Yeah, and her image reflects upon the city's image, right? So
exactly. All right. So it continues. Then it struck me. The police in the community are privately employed by main stakeholders in the community, which are the merchants, apartment owners, and other service providers. The streets are also private, but public access. But for this reason, the police themselves have a deep investment in the well-being of the community and the general happiness of the consumers who shop there. They are employees of the free enterprise system. In particular, Atlantic Station owners contract with Chelsea Brown for experienced service. And Chelsea Brown is this private police agency, like a security agency, basically. But yeah, that kind of proves the point, right? In a free market system, if everybody's hiring out private contractors to do police-type work, it would behoove them to do a good job and not piss people off. Because if they start running people off, no one's going to want to go there. No one's going to spend any money in that part of the city. Right. And then what have you done? Well, you've just made everybody poor for being there. So you're going to get fired.
True. And I can see also the state's argument, which is going to be, well, if policing is privatized, then therefore only the nice, rich, ritzy areas are going to be able to purchase great to good privatized policing, where the wars, the slums, or even just your poor areas in general are not. They will either have a crappy privatized police force or they will not have one at all.
Yeah, I could see that argument, but you know, I gotta think or I need to ask, you know, how poor do we expect people to be if everything is privatized, right? If they're not being held down and they're free to conduct whatever business they want to conduct and find ways to make money on their own, right? Or, you know, create their own value. Are we still going to have slums? I mean, sure, there'll be some people who are just, you know, just can't get ahead for the sake of trying, right?
But you know,
it just is what it is, right? They get a bad shape. And then, you know, even if you live in a, you know, like a large apartment complex or something like that, something that would have been, say, like a housing project before, you know, if you've got 500 people in a building and everybody's chipping in to buy or to buy the service of, say, I don't know, five police officers on a rolling schedule, you know, like how expensive is that per person, right? And if you're not forced to pay taxes, right, all that money then goes back into your pocket that you can then spend on other services that you actually need.
Yeah, I'm already paying HOA dues, right? Shit, I'd rather that money go towards a privatized police force within our community rather than God knows what they spend that money on.
Exactly. Well, we lived in an HOA before, which you may not know, but when we were in the old neighborhood, you know, it's old and it's kind of big in that area now. So it's hard to tell, but that's still unincorporated county where we weren't in a city. Part of our HOA dues went to paying sheriff's deputies to patrol the neighborhood.
Oh,
so it's kind of a mix of, you know, statist and, you know, non-statist activity there. But, same type of activity, right? So we're paying a yearly fee to live in the neighborhood, right? Or as part of living in the neighborhood. And some portion of that went to pay for extra patrols to be in the neighborhood. So, you know, it's one way that it could work.
That everywhere. It's pretty good. Yeah.
It's one way that it could work. All right. So
we'll keep on.
I will keep on trudging along. Sometimes in today's overly militarized environment, it's easy to forget. Policing is a completely legitimate, useful, important profession. They are there to make sure that everyone is keeping the rules and to apprehend the vandals and criminals who break the rules. You might even call them the thin blue line. That's where we're going to lose people. Mm-hmm. What makes the difference here is the private nature of the contract that employs them. Just as every other employee in this community, they have a direct stake in the value of the space. They are there to serve customers, just as every merchant in this community does. The more valuable the community, the more valuable their own jobs. They have the incentive to do their job well, which means enhancing the experiences of rule keepers while driving out those who do not keep the rules. The rules for Atlantic Station are rather strict, more so than I would have thought. There's a curfew for teens. You can't wear gang-related or obscene clothing. You can't carry weaponry. You can't use indecent language. You can't smoke. You can't be boisterous. You can't shout or be vulgar. You can jog, but you can't take off running through the streets like an animal. I'm with all that. It's private. Well, it's private property.
It's their area.
Yeah, it's all privately owned, so they make the rules, whatever. If rules like this were imposed by a city government, people would rightly complain about the violation of rights. So why aren't these rules violations of rights? Because it's private property and the owners determine them. More importantly, the point of the rules is not to control people and run their lives. It's to enhance the value of the community for everyone. They can be changed depending on circumstances. They can be imposed strictly or not at all. It all depends on what's best for Atlantic Station, and yes, what's best for business. Makes sense.
And it's consent, right? I mean, like you said,
right.
People are going there of their own free will. They have consent, therefore it's no aggression. To where if those same rules were in a city, we're going to have those officers out there enforcing punitive law.
Exactly.
It's one thing to have law. It's one thing to have a lot of laws in the books. It's one thing to strictly violate people's rights for punitive laws.
Exactly. Okay, so the article continues. But you know what's interesting, given all the rules? You don't really feel them. They're not really posted anywhere. You just sense that they exist, and you feel a desire to behave well. The culture of cooperativeness and good behavior is ever present, and the rules have the effect of freeing you from annoying things, not restricting your behavior. It doesn't feel like an imposition. It feels orderly. The rules are enforced, but with gentleness and care. The first time I entered Atlantic Station was about 18 months ago. I had some sense that something was different about the place, but I hadn't understood that it was entirely private. I stepped out on the sidewalk and lit up a cigarette. One of these very nice private policemen came up and greeted me and politely asked me to put it out, on grounds that this was against the rules in this private community. I said, "You mean by this building?" He said, "No, for the whole community." I didn't resent it. In fact, I was delighted to comply. I even thanked him for being so kind. There were no tickets, no yelling, no moments of intimidation. No one is taking your stuff, threatening to arrest you, or even giving you tickets. You have the right of exit. The rules themselves become part of a larger market for rules. So there you go, right? It's all private property. So just like anybody entering someone else's, you know, yard for a party, you say, "Look, here's the rules. If you don't want to abide by them, there's the door." Right.
Well, and the officer acts in the way they should act, right? If somebody walks through your yard and is stepping on your grass, you don't shoot them in the back of the head. You go, "Hey, man, could you please not do that?
Whoa, whoa, hey, just, you know, you can't do that here. Do you mind walking over there?" "Okay, cool. Everybody's good." And then you move on about your day.
And if he's not psychotic, yeah, he's like, "My bad."
Yeah, exactly. Another interesting feature is how Atlantic Station has marketed itself. It's not seen as an experiment in capitalist living. All the promotion uses all the usual lefty buzzwords about energy efficiency, sustainability, diversity, renewable this and that, certifications by various green groups, and so on. None of it matters in the slightest. This is about private property, period. It's ownership that realizes the ideals, whatever they are. The lesson I derive from all this is that institutions matter. You can have the same principles and laws in two places, one enforced publicly and one enforced privately. The code of conduct can be identical, but the results can be completely different. Where a monopolistic, tax-funded enforcement can be cruel, inflexible, and violent, the same enforcement brought about within the matrix of an exchange economy can yield results that are humane, orderly, and beautiful. The right to just walk away makes all the difference. The implications for policing are perhaps the most interesting, given the current controversy over police abuse. When the police function as part of the market order, the phrase, "to serve and protect," takes on substantive meaning. In this feature of public versus private property, that is decisive. There must be many of these communities appearing around the country. Governments at all levels are out of ideas and out of money. When was the last time you heard of some hugely expensive urban renewal program or massive public housing structure that was to be built in a major city? These visions are less and less part of our lives and our future, thankfully. With governments bowing out of the planning business, private enterprise is increasingly moving in with real efforts at restoring community. Private enterprise is gradually bringing about what governments only promised to do, and it's happening without much fanfare. In fact, I've not seen a single headline story about this community, whereas there should be thousands that read something like, "Private commerce saves Atlanta." Private property and inclusive commerce. It's the magic sauce that makes life beautiful. Come to Atlantic Station and see for yourself. So that's the article. And it kind of brings to mind also something, you know, near Houston, where, you know, Kima, right, is not necessarily private itself, right? It's a city. But the boardwalk, where everybody goes in Kima, is certainly private. That's all owned by Landry's, right? Owned by Tillman. So it's kind of the same thing. It behooves people there to pitch in and make sure that everything stays nice. All the business owners, kind of like being in a big outdoor mall / amusement park, right? I haven't been there in a while. I'm not sure if they have private security or cops. I'm sure it's a mixture of both. But yeah, something similar. I don't know. I would like to see something like this pop up in areas, maybe out here on the west side where we are. Lots of open land. Be nice.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of these, right? But who's going to write articles about private mini communities scattered throughout the U.S. that are thriving and safe, a safe haven and just a great place to be? You're not going to hear about it. Like the guy in the article says, it blows his mind that you don't see articles saying, "Hey, private community saves Atlanta." I bet they're out there. I bet there's some right around here, around us. Like you said, Kima, maybe even the board, what's it called, the pier in Galveston. That's kind of more of a party pier.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. Same company, at least.
I'm sure there's a lot of little local communities that operate in that fashion, right? It'd be nice to see more and more communities try to go privatize. Shit, for God's sakes, if there's cities in California practicing standard UBI, why can't communities just practice basic privatization?
Yeah,
but like
exactly.
You said, it's hard to give away power. It's hard to give it away once you have it.
Yep, exactly. And you know, all the politicians, once they get in, it's the old cliche, right? Like they don't really run. The first time they run to try and make a difference, at least they say that, right? That's the lip service they give you. But in all actuality, every election after that is just about getting reelected. They don't give a fuck what promises they have to make to you or break. They just want to keep power.
Money and power.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever keeps the money flowing in. So Mikey, go ahead.
No, I was saying also in that article, you know, it talks about these communities not having the money for these project developments. What the hell are they spending it on then? Taxes and every city and almost every area in the United States have been going up exponentially. It just blows my mind that these communities don't have money to actually fix the communities themselves, but you never really hear what the hell they're blowing it on. Just administrative costs. I guess they just gotta keep hiring their own people. I mean, that's mind boggling.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's gotta be a part of it. You know, bureaucracy just gets bigger and bigger. You hire more government employees. Everybody's on a pension. You know, things add up. And at some point, it all has to fall apart. I mean, look at Houston. You know, it's, I don't know if we mentioned this before, but a lot of the streets are in terrible condition. It's kind of a joke that, you know, you get ruined rims and flat tires and suspension problems just because the city's full of potholes that can't be fixed. Not because they won't fix them, because they can't afford to fix them.
Which Houston is home, is the energy capital of the world and the medical capital of the world and one of the shipping and refinery capitals of the world, and they don't have money.
I don't know where it goes. I mean, like I said, we hire more and more people, or they hire more and more people, and the pensions get bigger.
Pensions.
And it is what it is. You know, when your outflows are higher than your inflows, you got a problem. So Something has to give there.
It'd be nice to see. I was going to say, it would be nice to see a community, and I'm going to take it upon myself to the ground, but it would be nice to see a community that starts small, right? Privatized police force, no property taxes. It would be so hard for them to move away from public education, but charter schools or school vouchers. I bet if the community implemented some simple things like that, some simple, regression steps back, I bet they would thrive. And I'm curious if there's anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to do some research. Maybe we can do a follow-up. I know we're probably on deck to do several follow-ups to our shows, but yeah, that would be interesting to see, maybe areas where you could start walking back property taxes and things like that. If you just imagine some utopian community, right? Like in Wyoming, right? It would be easy there. There's not a lot of shit. Most of those people are pretty self-sufficient already. So maybe there's like some sweeping change. They say no more property taxes, whatever you want to do with your kids for school, that's on you, right? We're not bearing that burden anymore. If you want to pay for charter schools, great. If communities want to get together and found their own schools, even better, right? So there goes that burden, freeing up other money for people, right? All that money goes back in your pocket. You can spend it where you want it. And then you can hire police, private security, neighborhood by neighborhood, or as many people smarter than us had explained before, a lot of this would probably end up getting taken care of through insurance companies. Everybody's still going to have insurance on their home, right? I wouldn't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on a place to live and furnishings to go inside of it and not have insurance on it. So police and fire would probably be a service that's included or strongly recommended, at least, by that insurance company. I'm sure it would come with some sort of coverage, region by region. Yeah, I just, I see how it's workable, but, we've read a lot about this recently, more than other folks who are still trying to get where we are, and we've listened to a lot of podcasts about it, so I think it's a little bit easier for you and I to sit here and go, yeah, that all makes sense, right? But that's why I want to keep bringing this stuff to people's attention. I'm going to link this article. So for anybody who still has some remaining questions about how something like this might work, feel free to go reread it. You don't have to listen to me stumble through it. That's all I got, Mikey. I'm sorry it's short. You got anything?
I got a lot of things, Matt.
That's an understatement.
Seeing how it's late. Seeing how it's late as hell. I'm exhausted. I know you're exhausted. And, we both got busy weekends coming up. Are you going dove hunting?
Yeah. Are you going dove hunting?
Where are you going?
Are your place? Are you going to be there?
Oh, really? I guess. What are you talking about?
Well, I wasn't invited to opening day, so I guess I'll go to the second weekend.
I'm going next weekend for sure. But yeah,
well,
this weekend
I'm probably going next weekend too. Are you going? Are you going Saturday?
So next weekend, I'm here all weekend. Yeah, I'm in town all weekend. I need to ask the wife what we have going on. I feel like we have something planned, but I know Sunday. I'm completely free to go.
You don't have anything planned at 5 a.m. guaranteed.
Yeah, I don't do morning hunts because.
Oh, come on.
So sleepy, bro.
It's fine. Look, we get up.
Saturday morning.
What?
You want to do Saturday morning?
Yes, of course.
All right. Well, you're going to pick me up. And you're going to have like Starbucks waiting for me and I'll have the key gate.
I might not have Starbucks waiting for you, but we can stop at Starbucks or better yet, we can stop at Bucky's and get some coffee for 99 cents and get some delicious breakfast tacos, or we can go to my little Mexican place that I like. And then we'll go to the farm. We'll crack some beers after we've shot at the doves because we're safe. And then after we don't shoot anything, we can come back. You'll have plenty of time to get a nap in.
And high probability of that.
You can sleep. You can sleep until 10. It'll be great.
Deal. Let's do it then. Well, then I need to attempt to actually still get some work done, believe it or not. And, dude, heck yeah. Well, it was fun. Good little read. We'll come back next time. We do some follow-ups, man. I want to get Carr back on because I have questions for him. I know Will's been wanting to come back on. I still want to talk to your dog man friend. There's so many people I want to follow up with and so many podcasts that we got to follow up with.
Yeah, so
we need to hop back on that train and get some guys scheduled.
Yeah, everybody who's asked me to come on the show, I apologize, but as you can see, we're recording this on the night of the day that we're supposed to release the show. So as I mentioned previous, we are terrible at planning. We are procrastinators, and this is the kind of content you get when that happens. So I apologize.
Oh, well, you have kids, and I got the Xbox.
Exactly. I apologize. We're going to get everybody on the show. We just got to get it all figured out. I think we need to like just take a week off of work and like just spend a week like all the professionals do and like pre-record everything so we can just dump it. It would be awesome.
Oh, man. That's so easy for me, bro.
I know. Well, you could just work, quote unquote, work, and you'd be at home. So cool. All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here.
Let's do it, man.
Mikey, I'm going to let you get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening again another week to Erase the State. We love having you guys here. We're over 1,500 total downloads, which doesn't seem like a lot, but Mikey, I'm kind of impressed by that. I can't believe anybody wants to listen to us ramble about shit every week. So thank you for continuing to listen. Feel free to support us in any way that you can. If you would like, there's a way to click on a link at the bottom of the show notes. You can donate, help us get some better equipment because ours sucks. Anyway, keep spreading the good word. Everybody bring a new listener. How about that? Can we do that? Everybody try and bring a new listener every week, right? We can double up. It'll be great. Yeah, so tell your mom, tell your friend, tell your dad, tell your crazy uncle. Peace, guys.
Hey there. Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky-tonk filled with one-night stands. Take a tell him. So steel a dark house space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.